Okay, our next chapter, 26, is going to be titled The Urinary System. And I think most people knew, big picture wise, that the urinary system creates urine, so it's your pee, and that the urine has toxins and things from the blood that have added up. So we'll look at some big picture ideas first, and we'll get more specific as we go through the notes packet. But remember, as I've described before, every cell in the world thinks it's a single cell. It absorbs things from its environment, and as it lives, like every cell does, it creates toxins. And those toxins are ejected back into its environment. If you're a single cell in a pond, then it just becomes part of that great big pond and it's no big deal. But in our case, since we're a multicellular creature, when you eject your toxins into your environment, you're ejecting them into interstitial fluid, and that interstitial fluid makes its way back into the blood. And so the toxins that all the cells of your body are creating add up in the blood and need to be filtered out. Now, using the word filter, you kind of picture something like a mesh screen, and you shove a fluid through it and the parts you don't want get stuck in the screen, but that's the opposite here. We have a different kind of problem, is that the toxins that you're trying to get rid of and the excess ions and things like that, they're much smaller than the parts you want to keep, like the red blood cells, white blood cells, platelets, all the larger proteins that you'd find in your blood. Those would be the things stuck in the mesh filter, and all the crap would get through. So we can't do it in that traditional sense. So what we're going to do actually is let the fluid, the liquid part of our blood, leak out, keeping the parts we need, like red blood cells, white blood cells, in the bloodstream. And then we'll filter that fluid once it's out, removed from the bloodstream. And we'll give all the specific details of how that works as we go along. The first page I want you to look at in the book is page 952. And if you don't have a book at home, I've added that picture to the webpage. Pull it up, print it, whatever you're going to do. But it's an overview of the urinary system. The star of the show are the two kidneys. And you see them in the drawing. They are in the back of the abdominal cavity. They are one on each side, obviously. They're the filters. They're going to be a great deal of blood goes through these structures every day. We'll get into the numbers. But as it removes toxins, as it removes excess salts and water from your blood, it's going to travel this product is going to travel down the ureters. You see them labeled in this picture, the two tubes, and they'll drop down into the urinary bladder. It's a very flexible, hollow organ that will fill with urine until the appropriate time to get rid of it through the structure at the bottom of the bladder called the urethra. Now in the notes packet, we'll focus our attention on the first topic, which is the kidneys. And the first bullet says they maintain purity of blood by ridding it of wastes and excess ions. So if you have like a great big salty pizza, it's all fun to eat, but it puts a ton of salt in your blood. So your kidneys are gonna work really quick to try to get rid of those extra sodium ions. Second bullet says regulates blood volume and chemical makeup. Blood volume is a big deal. If you consume a bunch of water, that water gets absorbed into your bloodstream. You can't walk around with a great extra volume of it. So you're going to pull that water out quickly at the kidneys. Third bullet says produces enzyme renin, which helps regulate blood pressure. So it has, besides cleaning, it's going to have other jobs too. Fourth bullet produces erythropoietin, which is a word we've said before, which is a hormone that stimulates red blood cell production in the red bone marrow. The kidneys will measure oxygenation levels and decide when you need more red blood cells and release that hormone at that time. Other organs of the urinary system are the bladder and urethra. And again, you can see those structures in that drawing on page 952. The positioning of the kidneys is that they lie against the dorsal body wall beneath the parietal peritoneum. So if we were doing a pig or cat dissection and we remove the intestines, the kidneys are on the other side of a thin layer of peritoneum, separate from the other contents. In the human, they're about 5 inches long, 2.5 inches wide, and about an inch thick. And as we learned again in endocrine chapter, the atop each kidney are the adrenal glands. Now I would like you to turn to page 956 in the book. Now we will look at the nephron, and you have millions of these. These are the individual filtering units that reside in the kidney. The nephron, looking at the picture, has two major components, two major parts to it. First is the glomerulus, which is a twisted knot of blood capillaries. If you're looking at the drawing while I talk about this and you find the glomerulus shown, that's going to be a high pressure vessel that allows a lot of leakage. And again, we're not going to let it leak out red blood cells, white blood cells, and all that, but the smaller parts of the plasma will come out there. The second structure associated with the nephron is the renal tubule. It's a tube that collects all the water and waste products that have leaked out of the glomerulus. Around the glomerulus is the Bowman's capsule, which is just its extension of that tube, and it's where, and you can see it labeled in the picture, where the fluid originally leaks out. It originally is captured by the Bowman's capsule, and then it's going to work its way in the direction of those arrows through the renal tubule. As we continue looking at this picture, you can see that each nephron is associated with two capillary beds, the glomerulus and the paratubular capillaries. Now, they're not shown in this drawing, but they're wrapping around the renal tubules, and they're going to be the ones that are going to reabsorb the parts that we want, the water, back for our bloodstream. First bullet under that, it says the glomerulus is the only capillary bed in the body that's fed and drained by an arteriole. So the advantage of this is that it's going to be a much higher pressure vessel, so you're going to have better filtration. You're going to push more fluid out because of the extra hydrostatic pressure. As I said before, the solutes and the fluid enter the tubule at the Bowman's capsule, and 99% of that fluid is reclaimed by the renal tubules and returned to the blood at the paratubular capillaries. So as you can see in the notes packet, urine formation is comprised of three steps. First, number one, glomerular filtration. Water and solutes that are smaller than proteins are forced out of the blood and into the glomerular capsule. So that's the high pressure end where the fluid is leaving the blood. And yeah, toxins are leaving, but so are a lot of good parts. We're going to want to grab those back. So that's step two, tubular reabsorption. Water, glucose, amino acids, and needed ions are transported out of the filtrate, which is the water that's been pushed out, and then into the tubular cells. And then tubular secretion, hydrogen ions, potassium ions, creatine, and some other drugs are removed from the blood and put into the filtrate. Now we'll identify some of the characteristics of urine. Again, if you take this 201, 202 in university, one of the labs you're going to do is a urinalysis. You're going to pee into a cup and you're going to test it for sugars. You're actually going to look at it under a microscope and everything else. We don't get to do any of that fun stuff, but first bullet underneath this, in 24 hours, the kidneys will filter about 150 to 180 liters of blood plasma. And that's equivalent to about 45 gallons a day are pushed through these kidneys. Second bullet says, in the same 24 hours, about 1 to 1.8 liters of urine are produced. So that's anywhere from a third to half a gallon of urine is made. The pH is slightly acidic, about a 6 on the pH scale. Some of the things you would find in urine include sodium ions, potassium ions, urea, uric acid, creatine, and ammonia. And again, these are all things from living cells, things that add up in the fluids in the environment of living cells. Things you shouldn't find in your urine include glucose. You do not want to be losing sugar when you go pee. RBCs, blood proteins, some of the bigger blood proteins, hemoglobin, white blood cells, and bile. You don't want to find any of this stuff in urine. Other structures associated with the urinary systems, the next one is the ureters. As I introed those, these are tubes that carry urine from the kidneys to the bladder. They're about 10 to 12 inches long and about a quarter inch wide. They are lined with smooth muscle layers, and you will have a form of peristalsis that pushes the urine into the bladder. It's not just dropping down there by gravity. And the fourth bullet I want you to write, that there are small flaps in the bladder to keep the urine from backing into the kidneys, so little valves. Next question I wanted you to look up are, it says, what are kidney stones? Every kid in this room has heard of them before, but I'd like you to go to WebMD and just click on their paragraph or two description of kidney stones and write that into that area. The urinary bladder is a smooth, collapsible, muscular sac. As I said, it's as the urine is ejected from by this, the bladder shrinks in its size. It's about 2 to 3 inches long. When it's full, the bladder can be 5 inches long and hold as much as half a liter of fluid of urine. But it could, under like an emergency situation, hold even more than that, up to a liter. The urethra is a thin-walled tube that carries urine from the body. It has sphincters that control it. It has internal urethral sphincter. That's at the junction of the urethra and the bladder. An external urethral sphincter, which is made of skeletal muscle. You have to have a conscious decision to relax that to go pee. In women, the urethra is about 1.5 inches. In men, it's about 8 inches in length. And for men, also, the urethra functions in the delivery of sperm cells, which we'll be talking about in the next chapter. For the final page of our notes packet, I want to talk about the four major roles that the kidneys are in charge of. The excretion of nitrogen-containing waste is first and foremost. It's got to be done all the time. If your kidneys stop within a day, you're going to be in dramatic trouble. Number two, water balance. Again, I had mentioned that if you have excessive water, you need to get it out quick, so it will decide how quickly you're going to remove the water. Electrolyte balance, again, getting rid of the ions. If you have a lot of sodium, you're going to hold on to water more than you should, so it'll get rid of that real quick. And maintaining proper pH of the blood is a major thing controlled by the kidneys. Water itself is an interesting topic. When you think about water in the human body, it's not just what's found in your blood. It's also what's found in interstitial fluid and in the cells themselves. But the first bullet underneath with the topic of water, it accounts for 50% of body weight in women and about 60% in men. It's found in three locations or compartments, as the book talks about. Intracellular fluid, which is inside of cells. Extracellular fluid, which is between cells, and the extracellular fluid, which is in the plasma itself, in the bloodstream. Most of our water comes from food, 30%, and drink, 60%. That's the vast majority. Cellular metabolism accounts for the other 10%, so it gets released during the process of metabolism. Water loss, urine is 60% of it. Skin and lungs account for 28%. Sweat, 8%, and feces, 4%.